it's very clear by now already from Jeffrey's talk that why marriage and families are the areas where the new Islamic movements have a particularly strong appeal. So, as you know, it's already well known, but for our interviews, we have also found that Islam offers a vision of society in which, you know, marriage is central. And again, Hadith has a saying, when a person gets married, he has completed half of his religion. So let him fear Allah with regard to the other half, etc. So you can see the significance of marriage in practicing Muslims' lives. Society for the young people who are, you know, very religious and practicing, for them, society is built around a proper relationship between a woman and man in which children can be given a sound and spiritually healthy upbringing. Keep going. This vision of family and religion provides a positive alternative to the dilemma in which young people are faced between these two options. Again, Jeffrey has touched on that quite nicely. The one option is the parents' generation Islam, older version of Islam, which they associate with superstition and basically the Bengali culture. It's, you know, it's customs, it's culture, it's not really Islam. It's they are critical about the patriarchal attitude and practice of the parents, especially in the case of the young women. Their focus and obsession with their status, status symbols, display of wealth, and all of that, the guy who knew the stuff they do around the wedding. So they are extremely critical about all this kind of stuff. So they want to reject that, and that's not appropriate for them. At the same time, they're also critical about the Western secular ideal, which and they find inadequate in both in moral and the religious terms. And there's a lot of stuff about Western society we already know about, young people are critical about. Now, again, as has already been pointed out, the issue of security in marriage is one of the main one of the things that came up again and again in my interviews in particular. Maybe I want to start off with this and just have a quick read of that. And this is an interviewee, Tablighi Jamaat follower from Bangladesh, Dhaka. She said to me at one time, I think that it makes me feel confident knowing that my husband is going to control his gaze by lowering his eyes when he sees other women. These days, men and women are working together everywhere. Extramarital affairs are so common. I have several friends who are not very religious. They suffer from a constant anxiety about their husbands in case they get involved in some affair with the other girls. So far, I feel completely secure that my husband will not look at any other girls. He also feels the same if I go somewhere. Now, we see from this she's drawing a distinction between herself and other women who don't follow religion, between her husband and other women's husbands who are not very religious. So the fact that they're very religious, they're following the Islamic protocol, she's wearing the niqab, her husband follows the protocol and doesn't look at other girls, is a source of security. In other words, Islam is giving them a source of security in a chaotic, insecure world that we live in, especially in the urban context. I have to go back a little bit in here in relation to the, I think we have to say a little bit about my earlier work. We know from traditionally, but also at present, young girls, young women are always usually under the control of the male guardians in the family. And this sort of control has been legitimated through use of the values of purda system, honor, ba ijjat, lajja sharam ittadi diye ei value system gulor madhyome amader meyederke sobshomoy control kora hoy kintu ei control ta kichuta shithil hoyeche idanin kale goto 2-3 dashoke এখন আমরা জানি যে গ্রামেও এবং শহরেও অনেক মেয়েরা বাইরে কাজকর্ম করতেছে, তারা মানে তাদের চলাফেরা দৈনন্দিন চলাফেরার মধ্যে অনেকটা পরিবর্তন এসেছে। তারপরেও দেখা যাচ্ছে কিন্তু যে এই পরিবর্তন এত এত সমস্ত পরিবর্তনের সত্ত্বেও আসলে আমি যেটা আর্গু করব, এখানে অন্য অন্যান্য মতামত থাকতে পারে, যে বেসিক একটা বেসিক লেভেলে যে আমাদের যে পিতৃতান্ত্রিক ব্যবস্থা আছে সেটা কিন্তু কোনো আসল ফান্ডামেন্টাল লেভেলে সেই পরিবর্তনটা আসেনি। সুতরাং যখন নাকি আমি আর্গু করব, যদিও শহরে দেখা যাচ্ছে যে মেয়েরা মোটামুটি বেশ কিছু স্বাধীনতা উপভোগ করতে পারতেছে তাদের মোবিলিটির ব্যাপারে বা অন্য অন্য ব্যাপারে, অনেক রকমের চয়েস আছে জীবনে, কিন্তু যখন নাকি বিয়ের ব্যাপারটা আসে তাদের কিন্তু আসলে চয়েস থাকে যে কাকে বিয়ে করবে, অনেক সময় চয়েস থাকে, কিন্তু দি ভ্যালু মানে মূল্যায়ন করা, একটা মেয়েকে যে মূল্যায়ন করা সেই মেয়েটা কি ভালো কি খারাপ, কোন মেয়েকে মানে আমরা কাকে বিয়ে করব, এখন পর্যন্ত শহরের লেভেলও কিছুটা অ্যারেঞ্জ অনেক মাঝে মধ্যে ভাবলাম নিজেদের চয়েস মতোই হচ্ছে, এবার মাঝে মধ্যে এই অ্যারেঞ্জমেন্টের মাধ্যমে হচ্ছে, এবং যখন হচ্ছে সেটা সেটা কিন্তু মূল্যায়নটা কিন্তু মোটামুটি একইভাবে হচ্ছে যে মেয়েটা ভালো কি খারাপ। ভালো বলতে আমরা জানি আসলে যে ভালো হয়েছে সে মেয়েটা কি পিওর কি না, তাদের তার সতীত্ব বজায় আছে কি না, তাকে মানে সে মানে বেশি ফ্রি কি না, বেশি ফ্রি তো বেশি ভালো না। তো এই জিনিসগুলো কিন্তু গ্রামের এবং মেয়েদের শহরের মেয়েদের মধ্যে খুব বেশি একটা তফাৎ করে না। আরেক কথায় দে আর সাবজেক্টেড টু দ্য সেম নর্মস অ্যান্ড ভ্যালুজ আই উড সে। তো এই ধরনের প্রেশারের উপরে এমতো অবস্থাতে দেখা যাচ্ছে যে মেয়েরা প্রেশারটা সত্যিই ফিল করতেছে, কিন্তু তারাও অ্যাট দ্য সেম টাইম দে হ্যাভ মোর ফ্রিডম অ্যান্ড লিবার্টি, সো দে অলসো ওয়ান্ট টু ফাইন্ড এ হাজব্যান্ড হু ইজ মোর ডিপেন্ডেবল, হু ইজ মোর রিলায়েবল, হু ইজ সিকিউর, হু ইজ ডিপেন্ডেবল ইন দ্য সেন্স নট অনলি বিং এবল টু ব্রিং মানি ইন, বাট যে নাকি ওই এক্সট্রে মানে অন্যের অন্য মহিলার দিকে তাকাবে না, যাবেও না, এক্সট্রা ম্যারিটাল অ্যাফেয়ার্সের সাথে যোগাযোগ জড়িয়ে পড়বে না, এই জিনিসগুলো। আর এই সমস্ত বিশেষ করে শহরের লেভেলে যেহেতু মডার্ন কনটেক্সটে এই জিনিসগুলোর চান্সটা বেশি আছে, সেজন্য তাদের মহিলাদের অ্যাংজাইটিটাও বেশি এবং ছেলেদের তুলনায় মেয়েদের অ্যাংজাইটিটা বেশি এই ব্যাপারে। সুতরাং এবং ছেলেরাও অবশ্যই চাচ্ছে যে তারাও একটা ভালো মেয়ে বিয়ে করবে, সেজন্য সেই হিসেবে তারাও মানে ওই ধর্মটাকে, যেমন মেয়েরাও এখন যেহেতু লিবার্টি আছে আগের তুলনায়, ছেলেরাও চাইতেছে যে যে মেয়েটা নাকি বেশি ধর্মটর্ম করে তাকে বিয়ে করলে আমাদের ইয়াটা চান্সটা ভালো থাকে যে মেয়েটা আসলে ভালো পথে থাকবে। এটা হলো আসল মূল মানে কথা আমরা বলতে চাচ্ছি এখানে। এখানে আমি সো আই ওয়ান্ট টু গো ব্যাক টু দিস আইডিয়া অ্যাবাউট ওয়ের ইয়াং পিপল ওয়ার কামিং ফ্রম। দে লট অফ দ্য পিপল আই হ্যাভ ইন্টারভিউড অলমোস্ট ইউনো মোর দেন হাফ অফ দেম অফটেন টকড অ্যাবাউট হাউ দে হ্যাভ ইউনো দে ডিসস্যাটিসফাইড উইথ দেয়ার লাইভস, দে নট দে বিন ওয়েস্টিং দেয়ার টাইম, দে ইউনো টু মাচ টাইম আড্ডাতে আড্ডা দিয়ে এখানে আড্ডা সেখানে আড্ডা, বিশেষ করে ইউনিভার্সিটি স্টুডেন্টদের স্কুলের আগে ক্লাসের আগে পরে বিকেলবেলাটা আড্ডা সখামাখাই আড্ডা দিয়ে কাটালাম বন্ধু বান্ধবের সাথে, ছেলে মেয়ে সবার সাথে। অনেক সময় আবার তারা হয়তো বা যে অ্যালকোহলও থাকে, মানে পার্টি ফার্টি হচ্ছে, তারা অ্যালকোহল খাচ্ছে, তারা ড্রাগও কোনো সময় হয়তো থাকতে পারে, এবং দিজ আর অফটেন মিক্সড গ্রুপস, ছেলেও থাকে মেয়েও থাকে, মানে এই ধরনের জিনিসগুলা তারা দেখছে, করেছে নিজেরাও দেখেছে, অন্য বন্ধুরা করছে, তারা দেখেছে যে আসলে তারপর যখন বিয়ে শাদী হচ্ছে অনেক বিয়ে আসলে টিকছে না, তারা বিয়ে অনেক সময় ভেঙে যাচ্ছে। তো এই জিনিসগুলোর সম্বন্ধে তারা মানে অ্যাংজাইটি এক্সপ্রেস করতেছে, এবং এই ধরনের পরিপ্রেক্ষিতে তারা এই ধরনের চিন্তাভাবনা থেকে আসলে আস্তে আস্তে অনেকেই, আমার বেশিরভাগ ইন্টারভিউয়েরা ইংল্যান্ডেও এবং এখানেও বেশিরভাগই দে ওয়ার নট রিলিজিয়াস বিফোর, দে ওয়ার সাম ফ্যামিলিজ হু আর সাম ইয়াং পিপল হু কেম ফ্রম এ হোয়াট দে কল মাই ফ্যামিলি, আমার ফ্যামিলিতে সবাই আগে থেকেই খুব ধার্মিক ছিল, আমার পরিবারে এরকম কিছু ছিল, কিন্তু মেজরিটি কিন্তু ছিল যে আমি এই করতাম সেই করতাম, এখন আমি বদলেছি, এখন দিস ইজ লাইফ ইজ মাচ মোর ডিসিপ্লিন স্ট্রাকচার সাম পয়েন্ট আল কাম টু নাও ক্যান আই গো টু নেক্সট স্লাইড প্লিজ। সো দিস ইজ দ্য স্লাইড আই ওয়ান্ট টু টক অ্যাবাউট মাহবুব, অ্যাবাউট সামথিং অ্যাবাউট দ্য স্ট্রাকচার। মাহবুব ইজ একটা 24 বছরের একটা ছেলে, ইংল্যান্ডে ব্রিটিশ বর্ন, ইজ বর্ন অ্যান্ড ব্রট আপ ইন ব্রিটিশ, হি রিসেন্টলি গট ম্যারিড টু অ্যানাদার women about the same age. Both of them are members of Hijaz community that Jeffrey was talking about earlier in the UK. They both become, and that's how they met and that's how they got married. And he's in this quotation, if you read it, he's talking about how their shared values, about the prophet, about the religion, will, you know, keep them together. Just maybe I'll give it time, I'll read it so that you can have the time to read it too. Ideally, I think both of us would like to develop ourselves in our marriage on something which reflects the marriage of the prophet, with his wife. And this means to me that we slowly nurture a structure which is based upon that which the prophet did. The two of us and the community that we are part of, we follow the same form of Islamic governance, Islamic personal governance, you know. We have that relationship based on the framework of Islam, because everyone who is part of that, to a greater or lesser degree, follows the same morals and ethical principles and conscience. So, as you can see, they're talking about the structure, the ideals of the Prophet Muhammad's life. And here there are two things going on. They are obviously following the structure and the ideals of Prophet Muhammad's life, but at the same time, he's also talking about the group they're part of, the Hijaz community. They have particular ideals. And he believes that if you follow that ideals, I believe that our marriage will be long-lasting. There's more to that. Can you keep going? So we talked about love. I mean, a lot of the my interviewees asked about, because, you know, we are living in a context where there's romantic love everywhere, talking about Bollywood, Hollywood. So where do they fit in? Where does love come in? Okay, they're following Islam. Doesn't love mean anything? And if so, what it is? So he said, my definition of love is to want to be like the object of your love, to think about them all the time, to talk about them with everyone. These are all very deep, very powerful emotions, manifest in very powerful actions. And you couldn't have that in a husband and wife relationship unless the other person was having that divine love for God. Patience, tolerance, servitude, selflessness, these can only exist if at least one of the people have that relationship with God. Because the energy to sustain that comes from him, and that relationship, it won't come from the other person. So the way I look at this is like this. So you have this triangular relationship, Allah in here, God in here, and the two of you on this two end. So your relationship is very fragile. It can break any time, unless this love is coming through Allah. So this is a kind of triangular relationship with Allah. So in other words, at least, as he says, at least one of the person has to have that deep love for Allah. Without that, your love for the other person, your partner, cannot exist, cannot be lasting. Okay. Now I want to move to another British-born Bangladeshi woman, Shirin. By the way, these names are all fictive, as in I'm not using any of the real names. She's not a member of any of the Islamic organizations, like the other Mahbub, etc. But she also become much more religious. But she only become much more religious since about when I interviewed her, about 8 or 9 years earlier than that, and also started to take the hijab, not the niqab. So anyway, this is a woman without any organization, but she was extremely religious and very forward-looking, modern in her attitude, the kind of ways that Jeffrey was talking about. But anyway, so this is what she had to say about when I first met her, I interviewed her for several hours in one go, you know, with a break in between. And we talked about all sorts of things. And at that stage, she was getting to get married in about 2 months' time. She already have her fiancé. She met him through the families. And she told me how she was not actually having much communication. Dekha shakat korte chilo na, dekha korar eta Islamic niyom ona, ebong Islamic niyom ta keno, ei niyom ta keno bhalo, ei shomonde she ekhane bollo. So because it may not work out. Just because we are married, yes, it can break out. You know, you might hear tomorrow, amar biye ta hocche na, tale ki hobe. Only Allah knows whether it's going to be working out. So that's why it's for your own protection that that rules exist, etc. And she gives other example of, you know, the other people, you know, she knows about, you know, it breaks down, they start, you know, hating each other. And I'm sure you guys have lots of stories like that. She said, it's really at the end of the day, it's all about our own protection. And she talks about how, you know, you can have children born out of, you know, beer. Sometimes you have children, if you're having a relationship, you might have children which you don't, with outside of marriage. And I think she has this idea that those children might be born sick and all that. And anyway, so anyway, in other words, it's all about your own welfare, own protection, and for the benefit of the whole family, that this Islamic rule operates. Now, I asked her about, you know, what was the, you know, what was her attraction to the Islamic to her fiance, and she talked about how it was really mainly about his Islamic character. That, you know, it was interestingly, she never mentioned the word about his looks. You know, he said it was his, you know, he's into Islam. He tries to emulate the Prophet and the characteristics of the Prophet. I mean, Prophet had the Prophet had perfect good character. The way he treated his wives, he never shouted at them, he never abused them. That's very important, you know. We're talking about domestic violence, and she's saying, you know, look, you know, he's emulating the Prophet, you know. So the Prophet was like this. He never treated his wife badly. He was even funny with his wife, you know. He was not only just, you know, nice, he was also actually funny and all that. I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of that missing in many marriages in Bangladesh today, or in marriages, in Bangladeshi marriages. Of course, she's talking about Bangladeshi marriages within the UK, but that also applies to Bangladeshis in here too. And he, you know, she said, I just admire anyone who tries to emulate the Prophet. I really love that. And she, as you can see, she emphasized again and again, you know, the one who emulates the Prophet, the one who models one's life in with the example of Prophet, has to be the perfect husband. If Prophet was this, Prophet was that, Prophet was, you know, never bashed up his wife, you know, Prophet didn't ask for dowry, Prophet didn't do this. So all of these things are fantastic. Obviously, it has to be the best kind of husband you can have. So she was quite. Anyway, so I'll move on from here, I think. So. And she was very unimpressed, obviously, with the Western concept of love. As you can see, in terms of the Western concept of love, she says, the version she gets, you know, that just does not exist. I don't believe in this. Oh, there is this perfect soulmate, perfect person for you. There has to be, you know, she thinks it's all rubbish. She thinks there has to be more than one person. There cannot be just one perfect person for you. I think people get lust and love mixed up a lot. I think that kind of love, that lust love, you cannot maintain that all the time. That's just impossible. Now, we should not get confused in here. She's not being critical about lust as such. Lust is important. Lust, desire, you know, ওটা তো আছে আমাদের মানে marriage-এর মধ্যে they should be there, but that thing cannot exist in isolation from religion, from Allah, from Prophet, from Allah, etc. So, you know, if you're just interested in the lust, then that cannot really exist. You have to really be interested in the religion as well, and the, you know, follow that Prophet's example. Go on. Then she goes on to the Islamic consent. I mean, so obviously she said, she kept on going on. Okay, love is of course important. You know, I know many people argue that, you know, what is, you know, definition of love is sort of still very unclear. But for me, it means mercy and kindness. And in the Quran, it encourages you to be merciful and kind to each other. For me, that's what love is. Interestingly, Quran actually addressed the men more in terms of to be kind and merciful to the wives, especially kind. And that's their right. The women's right over their husband is that they be kind to them. And it's mentioned quite a few times in the Quran and also in the Hadith. Now, as you can see, just especially the second half, and again, I will insist that that's very, very important where she's coming from. What she is saying is Quran talked to the men more than to women. And Quran also given the women the right, that her right is actually for men to be merciful and kind to the woman. Now, of course, man equally has a right over the woman. Women also have to be merciful and kind to their husband. However, the point is that in our patriarchal Bangladeshi kind of structure that we live in, even in the UK, it is women who are much more insecure. And so she goes back again and again, and how Quran says all this. So for her, you know, as a woman, as a British-born Bangladeshi woman who was feeling insecure about the kind of husband she was going to get married to, she's seen lots of problems around somebody who is, you know, kind and merciful, who is actually following Prophet's way is the way to go. And that's the kind of love she was after. So, moving on. The young people, so the situation both in the UK, the situation that the young people find themselves in the urban centres in Bangladesh and in the UK, there are differences, of course, and Jeffrey went into that before, so I won't go into that for various reasons. There are differences. Yet these both groups are subjected to a common international culture of modernity. And here we're referring to this global culture that we are all part of these days, thanks to the technological development of various sorts, you know, including the films and the Hollywood and Bollywood. Here is your international kind of ideas about love, I suppose, through these films, music, the internet, secular values comes, you know, they're not all bad, I mean, as we know, they're not all bad. We also talk about human rights and the whole lot of other things, but all of this we are part of, both in the UK as well as in the Bangladesh these days, because of all this, we are part of this whole global culture, global unit. But, you know, okay, and because of this, this kind of situation we find themselves in, this offers the young people a lot more opportunities, a lot more options and choices in their lives, which their parents never had. But it also comes with problems, it's a baggage. Can we ask, are there too many choices? Can too much choice be a problem? These are the arguments. There are arguments on both sides, but you know, we can't really go into that on the moment. Maybe you shall move on, Jeffrey. Can we? This is my last slide. I'd like to argue. I mean, we know that we haven't really gone into this in my full paper. I talk about how, you know, Islam, Islamic way of life, you know, people's attraction to Islam, adoption of Islam, Islamic marriage, all of that. Can be seen as a defense against the West, Western decadent, you know, sort of ways of life and all of that, and of course Western kind of attack on Islam, and Jeffrey has also been talking about that. But I would also like to argue that it is can also be often a way of guarding on the part of the young women or young people. It can be also a way of guarding against an unwelcome marriage being arranged by one's own family. Now, it could be forced marriage in the case of the UK Muslim, British-born Muslims. I didn't come across any forced marriage, so I won't talk about that. But there are a lot of, I have come across women, mainly women, who were using or told me about the way they have used their Islamic piety, Islamic beliefs, and argued with the family about, you know, why the parents should not be arranging their marriage, or why they should have the right to have a say in the matter, both in the UK and in Bangladesh. So what I'm saying is that, and we have also written a paper on Islamic piety against the family on that on this subject matter before. And rejection of Western values and embracing an Islamic way of life provide a common ground on which I would argue the older and the younger generation can agree and can help in managing conflicts between the parents and children. It's like it gives them a common basis that you can. It's very difficult to argue with the parents from a secular kind of coming from a secular background, and you know, this is we want to do this, we have our right, etc. But if you use Islam, it's very difficult for parents to sort of put it down. So in a way, it's also masks the kind of conflict between the two generations, I think. I would like to leave there with, except that I hope I have, my presentation hasn't come across as saying, well, there is no, these young people are unquestionably sort of really, I'm, you know, in the full paper I talk about how these people are really reflexive, cosmopolitan, you know, they also, and they also told me, a few of them, you know, Islam, we talk about Islam, just because I'm Islam, Muslim, I don't mean, I am also at the same time modern. And they are indeed, as we have seen in the example of Shirin, they're also very, you know, cosmopolitan. The kind of issues that she is referring to and talking about in relation to Islam and what she's looking for in her husband, you know, these are the kind of things that our secular women and men also ask in the, you know, in the liberated society we live in. So I didn't want to give that kind of impression. So anyway, that's it.